Okay. Oh, it says now recording in progress. Got it. Okay, welcome everyone. Zeke Pergita. Rafi, okay. All right, I hope everyone had a, I told you, I missed you too before. I went around, I went in Benjamin Simon, missed you also. I mean, Lewin. Missed you too. I missed that middle line. I tell the guys the story. The Rav Aaron Schechter was here a few years ago. So he said a nice over, which I don't remember the point that he was trying to make, but he made this wasn't the point he was trying to make, but it made a tremendous hashpa on me. He said that he was standing in front of Chaim Berlin, and it was during the summer. It was on a Friday. Chaim Berlin has a camp. So the guys, they have a bungalow colony. So some of the Kolo guys, they go up for Shabbos to the bungalow colony. So he's standing there in front of Chaim Berlin, and one of the Kolo guys was driving off. So he said, I remember him, Rav Aaron saying, he can't say for the weekend because Rav Hunder was very machmir never to use the word weekend, because weekend means you're putting together Shabbos and Sunday. How can you chas v'shalom equate Shabbos and Sunday as if they're both dissimilar? You know, there's nothing.
Schechter used to give his mimer on Matzah Shabbos just so the guys would go out on dates on Saturday night on Matzah Shabbos.
Yeah. Okay. Anyway, he was very much against weekend, but he said so. The guy was leaving for the Shabbos Sunday vacation, whatever. Can't say weekend. And he was driving off, and one of the other people waved and says, bye, have fun. So Rav Aaron said, I was shocked. That's what you say to a kodal younger man? Have fun? What an insult. You should say, have an aliyah ruchni. Maybe have a restful time. You need a rest. Fun? What do you think? I'm a baby. And I could just see myself telling the guy have fun. So I hope you people, maybe I don't want to say you have fun, but
I mean we were in Utah and we had fun.
Well, Rabbi would not have approved.
I'm sorry, but you see, you experience the Floyd Sabari like Zion National Park. It's
hey, so that's not fun. That's Aliyah Ruchni of seeing the getting inspired, getting it.
Why can't you have fun by doing the Ratzon Habore?
Okay, Agav Urche, but the bracha, the Iker, is not to tell the guy have fun.
Oh, but Achar Maisa, we can say we have fun, no?
Okay. Anyway, I have to admit I don't have the same sensitivity as Rav Aaron Schechter, but it's where we should be holding. I don't think it's, you know, I don't have time as anyone who would say the word have fun, because I would say it too. But I hear that he's on a lofty level. He's right. That to me, you would not expect the Ramchal to tell someone have fun. You know, the Ramchal.
The whole pachas is good to understand the hasaga. It's good to understand the hasaga.
Well, what's that? Everyone, you're supposed to be, you know, everything you do has to have a purpose. That's not one of the purposes. The purpose of life is not to have fun.
No, this is all English.
Okay. Someone sounds like they're having fun too. I don't know. Background noise. Okay, anyway, so I hope everyone had a restful and inspiring Beina Zmanim. Rabbi Kinarik once told me years and years ago, I heard this from Rabbi Kinarik about 40 years ago, I don't know, 40 years, 30 years ago probably, that he was at some kind of Gedolah meeting. He didn't say who at the Valley Yeshivas. And a certain Gadol got up. He didn't say who it was, but it sounded like it was Rav Shach Nazon, because it just the way it sounded like. That he got up and said that we have to stop Bein Hazmanim, because there's no heter in the Torah to have a month vacation from learning Torah. Where does it say in the Torah you take a month, you know, time of Torah is every day. We got to think of this, a month vacation. What is this? And he said, Rav Chaim Shmulevitz got up and he said, excuse me, I didn't start Ben Azmanim. Ben Azmanim is a Messiah from Europe, from our Rabbeim. And it's worth it to have the Bittul Torah for a month, whatever, that the guys could come back on fire, so they can have his lavas, so they can learn his lavas. So.
One second, I'm sorry, I wanted to come in a minute before on the Ramchal. You quoted the Ramchal there. He does say we were created Lehisanag al Hashem.
I don't think Lehisanag al Hashem used to have fun with Hashem.
I'm in Rochester now. Rabbi Davidowitz calls it the party of greatness. Okay.
First of all, I don't think Rabbi Aaron Schechter would have liked that word.
I love that word. I think that's the best word out there. Party of greatness. I don't know.
Rabbi Aaron is very big into words. I don't know if you know Rabbi Aaron Schechter. He's very didactic in his words. The words have connotations. He gets very big in words. But okay. But it depends what kind of party it is. The word party somehow has a... That's such a good connotation.
Rabbi, in VA, they have something hanging up, quoting the Chazon Ish, that he says the yeshivas in Europe were too serious, and that's why so many people went off, and it's good to be a little bit less serious. So it could be that, yeah, having fun is a good thing. It just, you know, in a chanami, the old style mashgiach, or Virgil Miller would look down on fun,
I'm not advocating us not to have fun. Please, please, please. I get thrown out of the yeshiva. I'm just saying there are hasagas, the concept. But I never saw that quote in the Chazon Ish. Somehow, you know, I'm skeptical of a quote that, you know, like I never saw it.
Rashiva said in the Chazon Ish that if you have a choice to say something in a humorous way or a serious way, if you have a choice, you have to say, you should say it in a humorous way.
Yeah, okay. That's something that could be, because it goes in better. It goes in as a hashpah, because it's a trick how it goes in. Rav Shadran used to give Gaval de Gomuz. I assume none of you people knew Rav Shadran. Hey, Dr. Gawanta, did you know Rav Shadran at all? He used to be in Kew Garden Hills.
I know him in Israel.
You know me?
No.
He used to give such stark musr, but he gave it in such a humorous way that it was amazing. I once went, and then we should learn something, but it's the first day without the batra drop. The Rav Shadron, I was in Israel in 1970. My father had a sabbatical. So, and Rav Shadron, you know, used to speak, and my sister wanted to hear Rav Shadron, but she didn't understand Yiddish. I understood a little Yiddish, so I could follow him. She only understood Hebrew. So we saw a sign up that he was speaking in some modern, I don't say modern shul, but typical Israeli shul. So, you're going to be speaking in Hebrew. So we decided we'll go. So we walked over, it was like a half hour walk that we were, you know, just into some real modern neighborhood. Rav Shadron comes in his Yerushalmi dress, you know, with his long beard and his hat, you know. Anyway, so you have to picture this. He's speaking to these modern Israelis. They were Dati, but they were, you know, not Haredi, that's for sure not. They were all in the army. They were all, you know. So he's telling this story. He says he grew up in the old Yerushalayim. The old Yerushalayim, he says, they didn't have plumbing. So what'd you do for a bathroom? So they would dig a pit. They would dig a pit and then they would cover it. And you would make it, you know, and then it would, whatever you made went into the pit. No, this is what happened. Eventually the pit fills up. So you have a pit next to your house, which is your bathroom, and now it's full. So what do you do? So fashtaitzach, you know, he's saying this all, and you know, he's very dramatic. So he dramatized. You got hire yourselves a bunch of Arabs, and they come and they clean out the pit, and then you start over again. So he says, I remember near my house, this happened, and this came in, these Arabs came, and they opened up the pit, and the smell, you know, he starts describing this, the whole neighborhood is smelling from the odor, and the Arabs go into the pit, you know, they have to climb in, and they're covered from head to toe with the schmutz, and he's very descriptive, and he's describing it. These guys are shoveling these, you know, putting it to bang. He says, you understand, of course, he says, that Arabs aren't such good workers. So they work for an hour. The pit's still basically full. They're covered from head to toe. And lunch break. They have to take a break. So they climb up to the top of the pit, and they're sitting on the top of the pit, and their feet are dangling into the pit, which is still full of this waste. They're covered, their body, and they're eating their lunch. He says, I walked by, and the smell was terrible. So when you walk by some of the bad smell, so you instinctively, you make a face, you hold your nose. So he says, so I held my nose, I made a face. They started laughing at me, because I looked foolish with making a face, right? He's describing and describing, and then all of a sudden he tells, turns to the people, says, Rabbi Isai, when you're sitting in the pit and you're covered with head to toe to filth, you can't smell anything, and you think the other guy's crazy. And he started blasting these people. I'm telling you, I can't, it's a stark musser. And it was amazing. Everyone walked out smiling because he did it in such a humorous way. But he wasn't, he didn't hold back any punches. Wow. You're covered from head to toe with filth. you know, but he did it, and it was gewaltig. So there is such a thing. When you're humor, you can give gewaltige Musser. He would have said it, and without humor, they would have thrown him out. You know, but okay. Anyway, okay, let's learn a little bit. So we're starting Bava Metzia. We're starting from the beginning. I hope everyone minds. We're starting from the beginning. I think, what? Someone saying something? I like to do a little bit, maybe a little different than last year. I like to go straight instead of skipping around. I think last year we skipped a little bit. I like to go straight. I think it's a guy's way. I get a bigger sipuk. And we'll try and go straight. I don't have to read every tesis, but Tunisalisi Gomorrah, try and go straight. We'll try and get have a feeling. Okay, so we're up to the Mishnah. So there's a mitzvah. Actually, the Shita Megubetza says this in some places, I forgot where, that there's a special Indian to fetch on the first Mishnah of the Masechta. Because I think he says it maybe in Kedushin, because you have in a few Masechtas, on the first Mishnah, the Gemara fetches on extra, like on like Kedushin, it starts, there's that extra, the whole Gemara, Drachim and Zohar and Akeva. You also have a Tosfos very often in the beginning of the Masechta, like here also, why, they're very fetching on the words of the Mishnah. It's always usually on the first Mishnah. They have these tesis in that they think. So I think there's a shita, I have a recollection that he said that the first Mishnah, it's like a simon, you can't do it for the whole Masechta because you don't have time. So you do it for the first Mishnah. It's like a simon that you would like to fetch on the whole Mishnah.
Why against Chavetz Chaim? No, it's after the first Mishnah.
I don't know, but well, there's an extra fetching. Okay. Anyway, so well, the fashion of first mission. The Maisa, what I would like to do on the first, on the Rashi, is what I always like to do is to look at the Rashi Arif. Those who know, Rashi Arif is very, we don't really know who Rashi Arif is, but it's because there are slight nuance differences between Rashi and Rashi Arif. So how that came about is very unclear. You know, the simple shot in Rashi Arif is that the printer cut out Rashi and he pasted it on the Rif. But why would there be differences? And sometimes they're not just so minor, sometimes they're substantial, but usually seemingly they're relatively minor, but sometimes they're major. So
I heard that they were from different versions, because Rashi did three versions. And from
right, so there's two different shitas in Rashi Ha'ariv. Either one shot is what you said, that it's Rashi Ha'ariv. The printer actually took Rashi and he cut it out. Rashi did not write in the Riff. Everyone agrees to that. Rashi didn't see the Riff. But so either the printer took Rashi and he pasted on the Riff, but the printer who pasted Rashi on the Riff had a different Rashi than we have, because Rashi wrote more than one version. So since Rashi, so therefore what comes out that Rashi on the Riff is a way that we can get to see an earlier version of Rashi. That is one sheet in the world, which is a very interesting shita. And the other shita is that the Rashi on the Riff is really fakir. The printer had our Rashi, but the printer was a Talmid Chacham. And sometimes he decided to make minor improvements. You know, Rashi was the, you know, he was a Rishon, the printer. It wasn't like a, you know, I'm not talking about printer printing press. The Rashi on the Riff could be written before the printing press. So whoever edited, the editor of Rashi Ha'ariv was a shtickle, or more than a shtickle, Talmid Chacham. And there were places, he said, basically Rashi is a good starting place because Rashi is usually pretty good. But there are some places where he decided to improve. I think we actually might've done this last year. I don't remember. I did this. What would be the nafka mina between the two pshatim and what Rashi Ha'ariv is? A very interesting nafka mina.
Going to the first one, then Rashi and the Gemara should definitely take precedence because it's a later version of Rashi. Mm-hmm. And meanwhile, if the printer's later, then maybe that one should take precedence because that can't.
Okay, well, but that's not Rashi. I don't know if I would get precedence.
But you're close.
I would say like this. The question is, when we clear between, if you have a difference between Rashi and Rashi out in the Riff, which one is supposed to be, so to speak, superior? Right? If you learn that Rashi Ha'ariv is an earlier version, that means that Rashi intentionally that there were certain things that in Rashi were ambiguous. So then fakir, then Rashi on the Riff is supposed to be sharper and clearer, right? So sometimes you have a difference. You have a shaita. Why did Rashi say it this way and Rashi on the Riff said it that way? So which one was the change? In other words, is it, if you say the first version, then you say, well, Rashi originally wrote it this way, which was clear. But Rashi, when he rewrote it, he wanted to be clearer, so he rewrote it slightly different.
Yeah, but Rabbi, if it's the second printer, then it's
the opposite. Yeah, I'm sorry. What y'all say?
But if it's the printer, then it's the same thing as the footnotes on the Rishonim that Rabbi likes to ignore.
Yeah, you know. But this is a Rishon. You know, it's a difference between footnotes of some Josh, you know, in a Rishon.
Do we find any of the other Noisei Kalim quote Rashi on the Riff as opposed to
Rashi? Yeah, we find people quote Rashi on the Riff, yes. Yes, people make a big deal about Rashi on the Riff. From my minor experience is that Rashi on the Riff is usually when there's a change between Rashi and Rashi on the Riff, usually Rashi on the Riff is clearer than the Rashi, not the other way around.
How do we know Rashi didn't write on the Riff? How do we know that?
Because I don't know, I'm not a historian, but apparently it's against the rules of history. You know,
and how do we know that the Rashi, if the Rashi on the Riff is Rashi himself, how do we know that it's a earlier version and not a later version?
Oh, you mean that because we assume that we have the latest version? No, I don't think that's a good assumption. You know, that Mukhov.
I mean, it was the printers who, you know, 200 years after Rashi, who put things together.
Okay, I don't know. Okay,
you would think there'd be Ashgacha that Hashem wouldn't allow like fake Rashi to take precedence now.
Yeah, we would think that we have the latest version. Hold on. I once had in Yevamos, and a thing like this, where we were doing not right, we were doing the Parash Mishnayos the Rambam. And in the Parash Mishnayos the Rambam, there are three, the Parash Mishnayos were written in Arabic. So we don't have the original Rambam's, because it's written in Arabic. But there are three different translations of the Parash Mishnayos the Rambam. There is the normal translation that we have in the back of the Gemara, which is different mesachtas were done by different people. There was the Miri, always quotes the Parash Mishnayos the Rambam, and he translated himself. So his, or whoever, I don't know who, but it's his translation is slightly different than the ones in the back of the Gemara. He didn't use that translation. He had someone, either he did it himself from he knew Arabic himself or whatever. And then there's a person called Kapach, who was apparently a pretty big Talmid Chacham who lived not so long ago, who came from Jews that came from Yemen or wherever and Sephardim. And he retranslated all the Rambams from Arabic into Hebrew because he knew Arabic. Anyway, so in the version of the Miri, in the version of we have in back of the Gemara, there was like a major difference in how you translated a word. There was a word, a zona, and the word, did you translate zona like is a mezana? Or zona as zona doesn't always have to be a woman that's being mizana. I don't remember. Maybe it wasn't zona. Something like that. Anyway, there was like a major difference. Like a girl who was Nansa is also called the zona. So is it, but there was some major difference between the two versions in the Rama. So I looked at Kapach, that's this modern person who retranslated it, and he wrote that they had the Ksav Yad of the Rambam in Arabic. That they, when they brought from Yemen, wherever, they brought the original Rambam Ksav Yad in Arabic. And in the original Ksav Yad, the Rambam wrote it one way, and then it was crossed out, and in the Rambam's own handwriting, written the other way. Which means that in like an earlier version, it was one way, and the Rambam changed it. So that the two different, translations were working with different periods of the Rambam. So there things do happen.
Rebbe, the Rif looks. I just looked up. The Rif was from the year 1013 until 1103. Yeah. Rashi was from the year 1040, so like he was born 25 years later until 1105. Yeah, so he was born 25 years later, and he was nifter at the same time. Yeah, the Rif was in Algeria.
That's where you have to.
Rif was in Algeria, and Rashi was in France. So it's very unlikely that the Rif's Ksavim got to Rashi in his lifetime.
Right. In other words,
the Rif was eventually in Spain.
The Rif was not in Spain. No, the Rif was that was a rush that made it to Spain. I think the Rif. I think so, but the Rif was in Spain.
I mean, Rif was in Algeria.
The Rif was in the basic thing is the Rif was the Christian world and the Muslim world. And they didn't talk to each other. They didn't communicate. There was like an iron curtain between the two worlds. So the we don't have any reference of the Rishonim that there's any communication between the Ashkenazi world and the Sephardi world.
Wasn't that the Chiddush of the Talmud? Wasn't the Talmud of the Rush in the Rif? Wasn't there someone's Talmud of the Rush in the Rif?
The Rush was
the Talmud. Someone was called the Talmud of the Rush in the Rif. Wasn't there such a
But the Rush himself was the
Rush in the Rush.
The Rush went to Sfard.
The Rush ran away. The Rush was from the Talmud of Merami Rutenberg in Germany, and because they went ahead and put his Rebbe in jail for ransom, and he was afraid they're going to do the same thing to him. So he ran away and he ran to Sfard. So the Rush was the first Rishon who was exposed to both Ashkenazi and Sephardi tradition.
And it wasn't Christian then?
According to Wikipedia, the Rif ran to Lucinia.
Okay, I don't know.
1088.
Okay.
Which is in the Iberian Peninsula, which is Spain, Portugal.
Okay. That's, yeah, I stand corrected, but it's still the Arab world. Spain was Arab. Fame was Mazel.
Yeah.
That's why they had the, in 1492, that they weren't just against the Jews, they were really against the Arabs. They were, well, I don't know, they aren't really, but they were against the Arabs too. The Inquisition was to get rid of the Muslims also, because they were, they captured the Spain from the Muslims. Okay, anyway, the Maiza, let's learn a little bit. Enough introduction. But I would like to contrast, compare and contrast Rashi with the Rashi and the Rif, and also it very nice to compare Rashi to the Mukah Yosef, because in the Mukah Yosef, almost always quotes Rashi verbatim too, also with minor changes. But he's basically, it's a known thing that the Mukah Yosef will quote Rashi, even if he doesn't agree with Rashi. Right, that's where a lot of people get very, very confused when you learn the Mukah Yosef, because the Mukah Yosef, where we and the Mishnahs, who always quote Rashi, and very often he later disagrees with it, and people have steered. We had that in Kiddushin, not in Kiddushin, in Gittin. The funny Nitla, funny Neftam, there was some big sugya there where the Mukah Yosef disagreed with Rashi, but in the Mishnah he quoted, he said like Rashi. But then later he disagreed with him and it got everyone confused. Okay, let's do Shneimot Mitaawis. Zelmer Animit Sasa, Zelmer Animit Sasa, Zelmer Kushi, Zelmer Kushali, Zeisha Venia Pocha Mechet, Zeisha Venia Pocha Mechet, Piach Laigu. Okay, so let's see Rashi. Shneim Oichlim Mitaawis. Davka Oichlim. Tishneim Muxakim Ma. Ve'ein Lizeh Kayach Ba Yeisher Mizeh. So that's already an interesting Rashi. She'ira wa'isa b'yad echad bo'vahad v'ado havi'idah chamot kaveh olav ha'vi raya be'edin shushalo v'eino nemen zeh lito b'shfuo. Okay. No, on our first day, we have to fetch on this Rashi. So what can we fetch on this Rashi?
If the point is that ain lo zeh koyach ba yosem izeh, why does it have to be osen? It should be shneihem either osen or shneihem not osen.
Right. So, but on the other hand, and Rashi says, and Rashi continues, she'ilu hoysa b'yad echad avado. Rashi sounds like very much a shitah. So what really, Rashi, by making echad avado, when you change, you always are supposed to change one thing, not two things. So Rashi changes Shoya Biyad Echa Nevada. He could have made less of a change, Lechaira. It will be that either if both of them are not Oitzen, right? In other words, by making Echa Nevada, one's much better than the other. If Rashi held Davka Oichsim, but if it's Shneim, no one's Oichsim, then it'll be a different din. Then Rashi should have said Davka Oichsim to Shneim Uksakim Bo. You should leave out the word Eina Zekach Yosim Bizeh. She'ilu Loya Oichsim. Then
Lachar's called along Gvar, no?
Okay, that's Tysis, but Rashi is not Mashma that way. Rashi's Mashma. In the Rashi, the simple mashmos of Rashi is that it's if Louis story you had that wouldn't be shneim. The fact that Rashi says daksa oichsim ba'afuke and that echon, and it doesn't say that there's Rashi. If Rashi held that it would be called adam gavar, like you said, so Rashi should have said dafka oichsim to shneim uksakim bo. The ilo enam oichsim. It's called Adam Gavar. Why does Rashi have to pick a case where one guy's Oiches and one's not? It's less of a change to pick a case where neither are Oichsim, because by neither Oichsim, you have that Ein Echad Koyach Bo Yosem Izeh. Right? Now there's Rashi's making the Rashi's bothered by Akasha. right? Pashas Rashi is bound by Kashrut. Why did Mishnah pick the case of Eichsen? So Rashi answers, because this way, Ein Zeh Yaisman, then it's coming Lafuke, one person's Eichsen. Why didn't Rashi?
What about come? One person being Ochus more than the next person's being Ochus? Three quarters a quarter.
Okay, well, that would be the same thing as one person's Eichsen.
And I'm just a little confused. For what reason would Rashi be bothered that why the Mishnah talk about Ochsen? I'm saying that problem shouldn't come up until Rashi gets to the halacha of the Mishnah, and Rashi feels as if that halacha is totally in the fact that they're Ochsen. It's like, what?
Why Rashi's on the Mishnah? The Mishnah says Shnaim like from the Taoist. Rashi's bothered by a question. Why don't be Shnaim like from the Taoist? They could just say, skip the Shnaim like from the Taoist. Say, Taoist, Shnaim fighting. I don't know how you say fighting in Hebrew on a Taoist. Zomer animat asasi. Zomer animat asasi. Why does it say Shnaim Eichsen?
No, because Rashi's telling
us. Rashi's bothered by a problem. Why does it say Eichsen? And for Rashi, it says Eichsen because Dafka Eichsen. Because you have Shnaim Muksakimbo. The aim is that cough, the Eichsen meme is that.
So it sounds like Rashi's.
Rashi should have said, because if they're not Eichsen, it's called.
Does Rashi conclude that it's Dafka Oxen, or does Rashi grant that it's Lav Dafka Oxen? Because the language of Rashi seems to imply that Rashi's concluding that it needs to be Oxen, and the whole of the Mishnah would not be the case if it were not Oxen.
I don't know, but Rashi,
says Dafka Oxen, so like it sounds real.
But the Oxen that he's coming Lafuke is that one guy is Eichs and one guy's not. He doesn't. Rashi is very strange. I mean, this is not my thing. It's an Achlis David Zik. Why does Rashi say, She'ido Oysa Biad Echon Nevado? He should have said, Ido Oysa Biad Nobody. Because
maybe if
he's Biad Echon Nevado, he's making two changes. He's taking away the guy's Eichs, and he's making this person weaker than the other person. So he's giving him two strikes. You know,
maybe
the fact that guy loses is pasha. You're not Eichsen, and the other guy, and you're fighting an Eichsen. So you're two steps behind the eighth ball. So of course, in that case, you lose. In other words, he says, Chino Yakabavad, he would lose. Yeah, of course. Why don't he say a bigger finish? And even if they're both not Eichsen, he would lose.
Who says Beis would ever take such a case, though?
The implication of Rashi is that maybe Rashi doesn't agree with Tysis. Just, you know, that maybe Rashi holds that the Iker void is the Ein Zeh Koyach Yaisim Yizeh. And Lu Yitzur, you had neither of them Yaisim. Theoretically, maybe a month of the case, I can have a case and no one's Yaisim. So wait. But theoretically, that would be this. That we need, because Rashi saying the whole point of Eichsen is Shnei Muktzakimba, and the Ein is that Koyach Yaisim Yizeh. That's the Ma'ida of Eichsen, that they're equal. I don't know.
It seems like a funny Rashi on the Mishnah that Rashi's like in Svara. Why should the dinner this midday in Yachloku? Oh, it must be saying Oxen to the exclusion of where one guy's holding it. Like,
that's what he says.
It's not the Ainz and Darku Shorashi to stop like
but that's it, what Rashi said.
An alternative approach in Rashi would be to okay. Yeah, again, and there is what to discuss, but I'd say theoretically, maybe you could argue that Rashi's bothered by a different Deik of the Mishnah. But I think generally speaking, the Derek of Rashi is not, he's got a Svarakasha. Why is the case Oxen if it's not Oxen? Rashi's saying it's Oxen to the exclusion of where one guy's holding it. But in a Hanami, if nobody was holding it, the same thing would be true. Like I just saying, it's like, it's not.
That's what Rashi sounds like he's saying.
Rashi's saying is Dafka that they're Oxen Bifanenu. But if Fanenu, one person's holding it, even if potentially prior to that there were more, they were both holding it, still the din would be Hamot Smicha
Lavaraya.
Talking about a talus.
Dafka that they are Oxen is present. Dafka that they are Oxen. because if okay. Party would be holding it.
Why can't there just be Davka Ochsim? Because if Basin is not going to get involved in reports of allegedly a Talis is sitting in an Agam somewhere, you can't go to Basin with that.
A Talis can't.
Why did Rashi say that?
But that's not a case to
the Be'ena, he said we wouldn't get involved.
Because that's the only relevant thing the Mishnah could be. That's the only thing the Mishnah could be excluding with that, because neither one is holding it in the case in the first place. Two people called Mason, there's allegedly a palace on there. This is like,
giving out the main point. Rashi says, it might have Oysim and Shneim, Ain is that Kayach, Yoysim, he is that. That's not the only might of Oysim. Oysim is that that's why we don't say Yehmunah. That's why we don't say Kol Donam Gavar.
Well, not either. Basin would have asked anything. If people come to Basin, he's the one that's going to ask either one of those things, no? Yehmunah can call them our actual Psak of Basin on a case. If you come into Basin, there's a report of a Talis, Basin will say, like, what are you talking about? It's not a Psak, it's a nothing. No?
Okay, so Rashi's saying, Dafka Oysim, because otherwise we went Baskin.
The mission doesn't have to go after to tell you basically.
Is
Rashi's case a case where he's saying, and it's not like only one is being holding, meaning only one's holding half of the talus, or one's holding the whole talus? What's he saying?
The whole thing.
That's what he's saying? Is that definitely what he's saying? Could be saying half a talus?
I don't know. If there's only one guy's holding, it could be by definition. We're talking about that they're holding the corners. They're eating. Otherwise, right. So if one guy's holding, he's holding the corners, but that's called holding the whole towers.
Maybe
try holding the corners. So holding
maybe
the
if he's only holding two corners, Rashi would say, I would think that on the other half of talus, neither one is any advantage. He only has advantage on half the talus. And the Chiddush Rashi is telling me that he has advantage on the whole talus if the other guy's not holding on.
Okay, it could be a chid, but I don't know. But I
the Rebbe, sorry.
Okay, let me go further.
There is one point, Rebbe, the Maisa, Rashi later on is clear that the Anan Sadi, that might have toughest Heidi Dehu, is an Anan Sadi that each of them have half. So the Anan Sadi that each of them have half as a result of their holding, Mehecha Tesi to Rashi, to say that in Achanami, the din of our mission is true, even if they wouldn't be holding, and we're saying they're holding to the exclusion.
Okay, but you're too smart to me. I don't know yet, Rashi Lane. Let me go back there. I have a bigger problem in Rashi. So that's one catch. Why does Rashi say Shidoya Echod Avada? Rashi says, continues. He says,
that should be obvious.
So there's a few diukim. Two very important diukim in this Rashi. Rashi could have stopped. The ido hoisa biarecho nevado, have ido chamote mechaveh varaya. Period. So Rashi adds, first, the other Bahavi Raya, he could have said, all right, let's say he would have said that. Can have either Chabot Kavero, the other Bahavi Raya. He adds the word Be'edim. What's the word Be'edim for? Why could Rashi have the word Be'edim?
Sounds like it's supposed to
show. Find the scope of what it means a Raya.
What?
To tell you the Raya has to be Daf Kabid and nothing else could be considered Raya.
So why does Rashi have to tell me that finish? What if Amot Kabe Raya is a different Raya? What do I care? That's an interesting shadow. When it says Amot Kabe Raya, how strong of a Raya do you need? But what does it have to do with Bav Metzia?
He wants us to tell you what the most is. That's roughly the highest level.
There's a Shrua over here.
There's a Shrua, yes, so?
That's a Raya. I was.
In other words, you're obviously 100% right. And that's what Rashi says in the Farish. In other words, Rashi said, even though Rashi couldn't have said that Amot Kaveh Raya, because you say, okay, so I have a Raya, I have a Shrua. So Rashi says, yeah, but you know, the Raya of Shrua is not good enough. You need the Raya. One second. You need Dafka, the Raya of Eidim. Why is this a tremendous, tremendous finish? The way we just read Rashi.
Why don't we say that everywhere?
Because here there's a Shrua. So Rashi is pointing out that even though there's a shua, and you would have had a haven, you have to think that your yaitzi is din of a mezma ve'eva raya with a shua because shua is a raya. No, you need dafka the raya of Eidim. So that's why Rashi's saying it here.
But the shua is only imposed mitzvah rabban achar ha'maisa.
Okay, but the maisa is a raya. The maisa is a raya. So you would have thought that it's yaitzi a mezma ve'eva raya. Therefore, Rashi's telling you that no, you're not yet, because the din of Amezga Raya means Raya Be'edim. Why there's a tremendous finish? Somebody, I need somebody.
That a Mukhsa is already, it's yours.
Is the Shua a Raya? Excuse me. Why not?
A Raya.
Maybe he's lying. Just like he's lying the first time.
Let's just say,
we have a studio later that there's a mandamer that says, Migu de Chashir Abamayna. Now, with the other mandamer says, right? That's the shayla. Even the mandamer that says, means that the person, every ganav would never swear falsely.
So you can't extrapolate definitively the one to the other one.
In other words, everybody might agree that 95% of Ganovim, if they steal, they would also swear falsely. Just the man, the Amar Amiga, the Chash Amayna, Chash Rasa, and Pashib Shat is saying that there's no point in making him make a Shrua, because if he's going to steal, he'll definitely swear falsely, so you accomplish nothing. The other man, the Amar, says, what do you mean? There's 5%, 10%. There are some people that even though they stole, they won't swear falsely. But Avada, the vast majority, Pashat Shat, of Ganovim, are going to swear falsely too. They're Ganovim, they're Rishayim. A Rush is going to steal, he's going to swear falsely. So Pashat Shat, no one would say that Shrua is a Raya. Because you have if 10% of the people won't swear falsely, it's not a 10% is not a Raya. It's not a Raya. A raya has to be 90%.
I mean, Pashat, again, I don't know, but Pashat, as far as Migu de Chashid, is just that we cannot make someone swear, that will swear falsely.
Okay, that's it. I understand. I know. I say that chat too. But there, I think it's.
So this person's not Chashid HaMamayna, though. This person, our Mishnah.
But why isn't he Chashid HaMamayna?
Why is he? He's not. We don't assume he's Ghana.
Well, we're suspecting that he's lying. One of the reason why he's giving a shrua is that we suspect that he's lying. So there's a definite possibility. Now, the Pashup Shad, before, without this Rashi, Pashup Shad is shrua is not a raya whatsoever. That is a pashtus. Pashup Shad is, that's my, I'm pretty sure that that's the pashtus in the Svarim too. If let's say we have let's say the halacha of Koldon and Gavar. Koldon Gavar, according to one Shad, is not necessarily only who's stronger in physical, but there's also a person who has a better, sometimes we pass, whoever has a better raya, even if your raya is not conclusive, you win. So what if one person has a raya of a shrew and the other person doesn't? Would he win? I was called on God. Listen, I have that. And then Enochinami, I don't, you know, there's my raya is better than your. I have a weak raya. If I had an 8 effort and you have nothing, then I would win with an 8 effort. You know, because listen, I called on Kavar. I have a better raya than you. I don't know if that's called the governor, but there is such a thing. I forgot. Is that called down governor according to some day?
The rush says proofs.
Yeah. The rush says that. So, but by shvua, I think the standard assumption is that if one person swore and the other person didn't, you wouldn't say that he has a stronger raya, because a shvua is zilch raya. A shvua is not a raya. Shvua is a deterrent. The Chazal made you swear, or the Torah makes you swear, because maybe you'll be minded. There's a passage, but if the fact that you swore is not a raya at all, that you're telling the truth.
It's just it's
a deterrent. It's a deterrent okay, to do it because, but it's not the fact that a guy swore doesn't deserve. But Rashi is mashma not like that, right? The Chara, we have a raya from Rashi, a very, very big chiddush. It's an important chiddush. You're probably going to have nafka minas lahalacha. That Rashi obviously holds that a shvua is a raya. Not like I'm saying. Because if Rashi would hold that shvua is not a raya like I'm saying, then there'd be no reason for him to say, Adav Lavi Raya Be'edim. Be'edim Nemen Zeb B'Shlita B'Shvua. He should just say, Adav Lavi Raya, period, and stop there. Right. No, you people hear the diak. I'm not sure.
Unless Rashi's goofa teaching us that din.
No. But I want to know: is a shvua a raya? Just not a strong.
Maybe Rashi thinks you would have a hot mean it is, and he's teaching that it is.
No, it appears it is a raya. It appears it is a raya because he said ve'eno neman. Rashi like there's. Right.
The question is vados. There are Edim is obviously the strongest raya. Less than Edim, there are other rayas. Migui is a raya. It's a loses to Edim. Eirechot is a raya. Loses to Edim. Has an umdina nansadi. There are rive is a raya. Right, there are many rayas in the world. You know, some things are not rayas, that's right, chazak, but you know, rive, you know. So the question is a shua a weak raya? It just lose accept that it's not enough of a raya for a mitzvah be'er out of a raya. Just like rive is not enough of a raya, and migul is not enough of a raya. We don't, and migul hits it all meaning, but it's a raya, or it's not a raya at all. The nafkamina would be, if let's say you don't need a mitzvah of a raya of Edim, let's say for example you're not fighting against a muktzik, you're fighting against a sumchus. You know that would be an act theoretically enough to me, which I think is going to come up. And the sumchus is a moment of mutnasavik hokin. So it's not clear, depending on how you understand sumchus, what you need to beat out a moment of mutnasavik hokin. It could be that a rive and a migui would be good enough for sumchus, because if you're not fighting a muktzik. Now, some people say sumchus is also a muktzik. That's a whole tumult in Taisis. In the Bar of Hashema, and Taisis said maybe sumchus also agrees it doesn't work. But there's a tzad to say that even though migui and Bar of Hashema is not good enough against a muktzik, but sumchus, where there's mamon amutnas of a kolken, then a weak raya is good enough, right? There's if let's say no one would be, let's say Rashi's case. What if no one, not Rashi, the case that we were discussing before, what if no one's muksik? Two people fighting over a tower and no one's muksik. So you don't have the svar about muksik of a raya. And somehow or another, one person made a shvua. So would he win with his raya?
Rashi's
saying the only reason why the raya of shvua is no good is because it's a halacha of a mitzvah of a raya be'edim. But lo yitzur, you weren't fighting. You weren't going against a mitzvah of a raya. You were just going against some other force. Then a shvua would be a good raya. Most people, I'm pretty sure, don't say such a thing. That most people say that shvua is not a raya at all. And Rashi seems to be saying pretty clear that shvua is a raya.
But so, Rabbi, isn't if I'm just reading the Mishnah, tells me Rashi, they both have to swear. The Mishnah says that both people have to swear. So I might think that the swearing that they're doing is part of their proof that they're correct. And therefore it's possible that if even without one of them holding on to it, that swearing could be enough if they're both willing to swear. And therefore Rashi's telling us the chiddush that no, the swearing is just a preventative measure after the fact.
We're reading Rashi. Rashi says the reason why it's no good is all of the havi raya, and he adds the word be'edim. Why did Rashi add the word be'edim?
Why did he add the words you shouldn't take with the shua?
Because exact same
thing. Someone would have thought that that's edim? Because
he's telling you that there are standards of raya. There are two standards of raya.
There's one second. He's telling you that shua is not edim?
No. He's out there. He's repeating himself twice. Okay, I don't think.
Okay, but maybe the whole thing is so maybe it's just not a raya.
But he's saying there's two standards of raya. There's a raya called edim and a raya called shua.
But you don't see that. Raya maybe there's two standards. There's raya and no raya. Edim
is a stronger raya than the raya of shua. So Rashi is saying. He's speaking out very clearly. He says,
maybe
you have
out.
To bring a raya on the level of Aden.
Maybe
therefore,
he's just speaking out.
Therefore, you're not Neman with the raya of Shua. But if Shua was not a raya, then the whole thing is ridiculous. There's no point to say it. If Shua is a raya, then he's mamish talking everything to the point. Maybe you're saying, if I said it once, I could have been medayik it. But he's speaking out clearly, like as clear as can be. You need a raya of edim. Since you need a raya of edim, don't you dare give me a raya of shua. Oh, that's mamish right to the point.
Maybe if Rashi sees them, they're both holding onto the whole talus, and one makes a shua, and the way yachloku works, right? Rashi's saying clearly, at least, is that lital bishvua. So, but he's taking it out of the other guy's hands. Lagavi, the other guy, whether he gets half or whatever he gets, he's getting it with the shvua. He's lital bishvua. So Rashi's saying, as soon as you let go, don't bring a riot from the fact that yachloiku, you get it from the other guy, bishvua. That's only because you got that, they're holding on to it. That's
okay,
why
so
you should have taken
said, it. Out of the havi raya, and it, he should have left out the word that ate them. I think that I have two diyugim. Why is Rashi throws in the word be'edim? Is that telling you that in all shas when we say amotzi avayim haraya, we don't add the word be'edim. As far as I know, in you know amotzi avayim haraya is a pretty common phrase. Rashi here says amotzi avayim haraya be'edim. Like what's Rashi doing that for? Why is he adding the word edim? He should have just said amotzi avayim haraya. That's the phrase.
Maybe the sugya we just did above a comma doesn't say be'edim there?
No, I don't think so. But you look it up because I don't have it right in front of me.
We reference Rashi here with the word edim.
Right. The normal, but the Torah is Rashi is going out of his way to tell you that whenever we say in Shas, HaMoitzim Echaveh Avaraya, it's with edim. And the edim never needs Abishua. So what Rashi's doing is, normally, there is no other raya. So Rashi doesn't have to, it's not Rashi's issue to tell you what level you need from Hotchavim Raya. And maybe that's trying to make us Rav and Shmuel. Rav says, Mahokim Imam and Acha Rai. So then it's like, according to Rav, it's not just Adim, it's also Rai. Right, so that's already, but here, it's Rashi has a problem. I can't just say Hotchavim Raya. Because if I were just say Hamot Kavev Araya, I would not imply, how do you know Shua is no good? So to me, it sounds like that
maybe
there's
just
a very, very big finish in this Rashi.
Rebbe, why doesn't Rashi call the other guy a muhsik?
Maybe he just wants to say you need, he says you need a Raya, he wants to play an invasion.
What? I don't know who's talking.
I was asking, why doesn't Rashi call the other guy a muhsik?
I don't know. He's saying, if it was Raya Biyad Echad Abad, that means he's muhsik. That means
he's a muhsik.
Okay. I don't know. I'm sorry. What was it? I don't know. I can't answer that question. I guess he felt it was obvious. Somebody else was saying something too?
No, it just sounds like the possibility is it's not in Rashi, but you know, it sounds like when he's saying dafka ochsin and forgetting about the fact that in his example where one person's holding it, there's a muhsik and there's a non-muhsik, which seems like, you know, that was our first question. It seems like from left field that maybe it's talking about a case where the holding of it is not a raya by itself. maybe typhus lefanov or something like that.
No, with no, that, that's not, I mean, it's just not, doesn't seem like what it's saying.
Very strange otherwise.
Okay, can we're running out of time. So something you want, someone else want to say something? I cut someone else off.
That's just why what's bothering Rabbi Levan more is the last part of Rashi. Why don't we just say that the Edom part is sure, and the
both parts are bothering me. Why Rashi added the word Edom, and why Rashi says the Ein on them and Nito B'Shua.
But if you leave the Edom part sure, then the Ein on them and Zelito B'Shua doesn't have to be a Raya then, right?
I mean, they're both saying the same thing. Rashi. Because Rashi held that Shulito B'Shua is a Raya, so Rashi makes both points. You need Raya Be'edim, and therefore Lito B'Shua, which is less than Raya Be'edim, is not good enough.
Like Rashi was saying, Rashi Edim to tell you that when you might see nothing works out for Edim, and the first part of the Mishnah, Meshnaim Oichsin, Shvua would work, but over here, you need a real Edim, and therefore Shvua is not going to work like it worked in the Rashi.
Okay, I don't know if I was, so what you're asking a question, you're giving
no, an no, I'm trying to answer. I'm just trying to say why is that the Edom is just Rashi saying simply Edom because only Edom work when you want to be Maitzi. And Einan Neman Zelita B'Shvua, as opposed to by Eichsin, a Shvua does work. It doesn't work over here. In other words, I'm separating the Edom and the.
I don't bother. Sorry. Rashi could have just said, Raya. And there is no, there is, in this case, no one has any Raya. If you learn that Shrua is not a Raya,
yeah.
So all Rashi had to say is, Havi'idah chamot kaveda v'ana v'havi Raya. Period. And therefore, of course, you lose because no, you don't have a Raya. You want to say, V'ena nemen zed ha'inita b'shrua. Okay, fine. But there's no reason to say Edim. Rashi is mashma that he's telling you the chiddush that Motzav Eberaya Dafka be'edim, and not with anything less than edim, and therefore Shua, even though it's a raya, but it's not edim. That sounds like what Rashi is doing.
According to this, then the Shua in the Mishnah is working as a raya.
It's not necessary that's the reason. I didn't say that's why it's there. That could be there for the Gemara says a deterrent, but once it's there, it automatically is also a raya. In other words, it could be the Rabbana made the Takana to make a shrua for who knows what reason. Not because they wanted a raya. But the Maisa, now the one guy swore and the other guy doesn't. So then that shrua, or he swore and half the other guy, you know, and the other half the other guy, and that half the other guy's not swearing. So that shrua is acting as a beerer. So that's what Rashi was bothered by. That what? Granted, we say I must have a raya, but I have a raya. I'm a shua. It's not necessarily that's why they made the chiyah shua. But the ma'isa, once we make the chiyah shua, so you should win with the raya of shua.
So but when Rashi, one person holds it, they weren't masakin the shua. So even if a shua will be a raya, how can it be a raya in that case? It's not the kind of practice.
Okay, I don't know. Okay, so then I hear, but. But that's not so posh. If that's like a very much more complicated, who said they weren't misake? If the Rashi is much straighter, simpler. Rashi is saying that the din of the Mishnah could never be true with Shlaim Eichsin, it with one Eichsin, because then you need a Raya, and this is not a Raya.
I mean, could it be that Mishnah is telling us that if they're both Eichs, then they both need to swear? Rashi is entertaining a possibility that if one of them is Eichs, then he won't have to swear because he's Eichas, but the other guy could possibly swear, meaning the first guy doesn't have to swear, and therefore you'll have a Shvua against an Eichas, and maybe I can entertain a possibility that could have some force, and they were telling you, no, that doesn't work, you need to have Edim in order to be able to back you up. You're not Eichas.
That is what I'm saying.
Okay.
When it comes out, I'm saying, nafkamina lahalacha, because that means that halachically, I would have assumed that a Shvua is not a Raya at all. There's a 90%, 80% possibility that since you're a crook is a kosher to be a crook, your kosher to swear falsely. It's not enough to pass you the shrua, but it's enough to say there's no raya. You know, it's not a raya. You know,
one second. How does sumchus?
We started out in the beginning. We were going Rav Shadrach. So I heard from from a different maggid. Don't ask me. This is no level, but as long as I'm bouncing about Magid, there's a maggid in Yerushalayim. His name was Rav Shapsi Yudalovitz. He was also very same type of Rav Shadran. So he told the following marshal that there was a Yanko the Ganov. Right? Everyone knows Yanko the Ganov. Every time there's a Yanko the Ganov. So Yanko the Ganov goes to Shul on Yom Kippur. His wife with his family. They come home. Motzoi Yom Kippur. The wife takes out from the refrigerator the chicken to eat for Motzoi Yom Kippur. And lo and behold, someone went ahead and the half of the chicken is missing. She says, oh, she starts screaming, Yanko, even Yom Kippur, you couldn't control yourself. You had to come in and eat on Yom Kippur. What's wrong with you? At least Yom Kippur, you should fast. So Yanko, the guy, says, what? I didn't eat it. I'll prove to you I didn't eat it. If I ate it, I'm fleshic. I'll pour myself a cup of milk and I'll drink it. Oh, so you see, I didn't eat it. That was his mashu.
This is the only story I remember from Rebbe Shir.
Right. Okay. Anyway, that a nice.
Just one question.
Nice, do we know for sure? Are we saying that when Rashi says Einu Neman Litol B'Shua, it means Litol the whole thing, or it could be Litol half of it?
No, it could be even Litol half. Litol, forget it. Probably only means Litol half. He's only swearing on half, so he couldn't be only. He could only get half, but Litol his half.
Maybe we're talking about they both walk in holding it, and then one guy pulls it stronger than the other.
Just came back to the question. In other words, if the guy's chashed to eat on Yom Kippur, then the fact that he drank a cup of milk is not a raya. So if the guy's chashed to steal, the fact that he's making a shrua is not necessarily a raya. That's a pashtus. The pashtus is that your shrua is not a raya. Rashi, I'm pretty sure, is mukhlach that Rashi's holding it is a raya.
Maybe it really
I'm pretty
not
sure
Ryan.
That makes nafkaminas la halacha, makes it enough because maybe there are cases like the guys were saying in Kol Da'anam Davar, which said that the Rush says that whoever has a stronger raya would win. So then it comes out if Shrua is a raya, then if one person swore and one person couldn't swear, let's say one person was puffed from swearing. And you don't say mitochen yochel shalom shabbat. There are cases where you don't say mitochen yochel shalom shabbat, but the guy can't swear, and he can't swear. That's all. He has no way of knowing. So you have two people. One person should know, and he swears. And the other person has no way of knowing, so he can't swear. So according to my Rashi, it would come out that the person who doesn't have to swear loses. Because it called on a gomar because there's a shtickle ray against you.
Rebbe, could this Rashi be dependent on the two stadim in Sumchis? Meaning Sumchis, according to one side, it only works if it's an aga. But according to the other side, even if one of them is neutralit, you could still say it's mamonomut was suffic. So according to that side, if you don't hold like Sumchis, we don't say mamonomut was suffic kolkin, but then it could be that at least if the other guys won't say shvua, then we would say that he has a tzitzina.
Okay, well, see. Okay, I don't know. I don't know enough about something. I'm not ready to answer the question. Okay, let's stop. What I'd like to do tomorrow, we have one last day on this sugya. But I would like to do for tomorrow is I would like to look at this in a Mukha Yosef. And also, there's like slight, because we say we have a mitzvah to fetch on the first day. So there's slight differences between the Mukha Yosef and Rashi, I think. There's some slight differences, and also Rashi al Arif, but I don't know if there were so many differences in Rashi and the Arif. But let's look at them, then we'll go weiter. But I will look at the Mugei Yosef and the Rashi and the Arif. If there's any significance to the differences between, especially in the Mugei Yosef, is he just writing clearer? There's a Mugei Yosef copied Rashi. Right, that's for sure. The Mugei Yosef came after Rashi. The Mugei Yosef copied Rashi. So it is strange if the Mugei Yosef copied Rashi and he wrote it different. Especially, it almost sounds like our Rashi is written better than the Mugei Yosef. So okay, I would like to look at that for a minute. You know, a minute could mean in like an hour, but okay. Okay, so we'll see you people tomorrow. Yashikayach, everyone.
Rebbe, I have a separate thing. No one has to stay. But on Reb David, when Reb David used to give shir, so they say he gave shir differently than the Rosh Hashiva. He gave shir, they went straight. They learned through the Gemaras, they learned everything. And someone explained to me, he said, during the time of Reb David, they only were in the base medrash till like 3 o'clock. They didn't have like an afternoon Seder night Seder, but they did bekiyas because they went to college, they did other things, so they had to learn straight. So us, L'char Rebbe's right, L'char, we're like that, meaning we don't have a bekiyas Seder. So it's not like we're learning even in the morning, bekiyas afternoon. But we make, if there's a sod, it makes sense. We should do that. We should go straight learning through
the morning. I'm not sure I'm ready to agree that that was the Seder. That's a chapter of David.
No, that's what I heard. Someone told you. Talmud from Reb David said that. I don't remember who it was. Talmud, whether it was Rabbi Chait or someone else. It was Talmud from Reb David who explained that that's why Reb David gave shir that way.
Okay, I don't know.
Well, because they didn't have it.
There are many people that give shir that way. You know, in many people, that's a normal way of giving shir.
That's what, to keep on, to go straight?
Yeah, that's
because they don't have bekiyas. Because they don't be, they, Taka, those places to give shir don't have bekiyas.
No. Rabbi Kinarik, you go straight. You know, Rabbi Kinarik, you know,
maybe there was some time. Maybe there was some time he didn't have it like that. That would answer
everything. Kinarik skipped. Yeah, I was in Rabbi Kinarik's shir. Rabbi Kinarik skipped a lot.
You did? I don't know.
He skipped a lot. We did different. We did Meruba. We did other things. We did.
Okay. After he did 10 plots straight, he would skip. I don't know. Okay, anyway, I know it's hard to remember. It's a long
time. Rabbi, in Velazhen, you would get the Reb Chaim and the Netziv, you would alternate who would give on which plot.
Okay, anyway, okay, so the Shekayach, everybody, I don't know. We'll see. Yeah. So it's the same schedule. So we'll have tomorrow and then Thursday we're off. And okay, Shekayach.
What's going to be with Yom Tov coming up, Rabbi?
What?